Too Many Potters by PhD Mama. Summary. Draco blinks, trying to make sense of what he's seeing.
Weasley,
he says, not taking his eyes off the sight in the cell. Why are there 11 Potters in holding B?
12, actually, Weasley replies from his desk. I think one's tucked away back in the corner.
Draco blinks, trying to make sense of what he's seeing.
Weasley, he says, not taking his eyes off the sight in the cell before him. Why are there 11 Potters in holding B?
12, actually, Weasley replies from his desk. I think one's tucked away back in the corner. There's a flash of light and puff of shimmery smoke inside the cell, and Draco jolts until Luna appears in the midst of all the Potters, wearing her diagnostic goggles, the ones with the ladybug antennae. She gives Draco a wave, and he offers a friendly salute in return before setting down his bag on his own desk and striding over to Weasley's to drop into the chair opposite him.
"Care to explain?" he asks, and hands Weasley his daily caramel monstrosity.
"Spell,"
Weasley says succinctly, and takes an obnoxiously loud slurp of his coffee just to fuck with Draco.
"You'd think," Draco says mildly, "you'd be kinder to the man who brings you coffee every day."
And Weasley just laughs.
"There were developments on the Joneses case last night,"
Weasley says, and Draco sucks in a sharp breath.
"We ended up having to move early on the bust. There were civilians in the shop."
He sighs and runs a hand through his red hair.
"Harry was first through the door. There was a loud bang and a bunch of smoke and whatnot, and when the air cleared, well, you can see the result."
"So why are they all in holding?"
Draco asks, and sips his own perfectly respectable latte.
"Surely you can at least figure out which one's the real Potter."
Weasley shakes his head.
"No, the spell transformed all of their wands and froze their voices. Luna's trying to figure out how to mind it, but it's delicate magic."
His expression turns serious for a moment.
"I'm far beyond the capabilities of these buffoons, which means we have a problem."
"I think we've got 12 problems," Draco mutters, and turns around to look into Holdings B again. "So what you're telling me is we've got a mixture of our own Harry Potter, a few bad guys, and some innocent civilians?"
"Yep," Weasley says, obnoxiously popping the pea. "That's about it. Not to mention some unknown mastermind who may or may not currently be spelled to look like Harry Potter."
"Fuck," Draco sighs. "And it was shaping up to be such a nice Tuesday."
"You hate Tuesdays," Weasley reminds him,
and Draco shrugs and stands up.
"I'll be at my desk," he says, "if you need my help."
And Weasley gives him a wave and goes back to the case file he's been flipping through. About half an hour later, Luna comes out of the holding cell, and Draco tunes in to hear what she's saying to Weasley. "I've got good news and bad news," she says in her soft voice. And once again Draco marvels at the flight exterior that belies the brilliance of the mind underneath. "The good news is, I think I can unwind the spell."
"Okay," Weasley says. "What's the bad news?"
"The bad news is," Luna says, and Draco gives up the pretense that he's not listening in when he picks up the worry in her voice, "that there's a nasty little failsafe built into the spell. Let me show you." No one comments as Draco follows them into the holding cell where the Potters are being held. Some look furious, some look confused, some scared. Luna pulls off the goggles and hands them to Weasley, murmuring instructions to him. Draco takes the opportunity to give the Potters a closer look, and, he has to admit, the spellwork looks flawless, from Potter's famous scar and messy hair to the fresh love bite on his throat. Draco lifts one eyebrow at that, and turns as Weasley hands the goggles back to Luna. Weasley sighs heavily.
"This just got more complicated. Luna's right. There is a failsafe. Meaning if we do unwind the spell from anyone but our original Potter, the original dies, and the rest are permanently spelled to be Potter."
"Fuck,"
Draco breathes, and one of the Potters bursts into tears.
"Well, we know that one's a copy,"
Draco says, and Ron stares at him.
"Potter's not going to cry this early in the game," he says impatiently. "Not with Luna and, I presume, your esteemed wife on the case. Potter knows we'll get it figured out."
Luna nods and pulls a sharpie out from one of her many pockets. Draco accepts it, goes over to the crying Potter and says,
"I know this is frightening,
but we need you to sit tight and stay calm. We'll get it sorted. He takes a potter's hand and marks it with a large one and an X. There, he says. Why don't you have a seat over there? He turns away, the tears on Potter's one's face leaving him unsettled in a way he can't put into words, and follows Weasley and Nuna out of the cell, locking the door behind him with a distractive wave. They don't make much progress, and is relief when Granger shows up to the conference room where they set up shop, looking irritated rather than alarmed.
So here's where we're at, Luna says. We've got 12 identical Harrys, identical ones, and they can't talk. If we cast the unwind on the wrong person, our Harry dies, and the rest are left permanently as Potter copies.
Granger rolls her eyes. Fucking brilliant, she says, and Draco grins. It's always fun when Granger starts swearing.
I looked at the spell when I came in, and you're right, Luna. It's actually an incredible bit of charm work.
Pity it's being used for evil.
Oh, and did you notice the countdown?
Oh, Luna says, and leaps to her feet.
Show me.
Yeah, I'd say we're on a fairly tight schedule, Granger says.
An hour? Maybe less?
She follows Luna out of the room, and Draco stares at Weasley, deep concern stirring his belly. He's not worried, not yet, but he's definitely closer to the edge of worry than he prefers to be, especially when it comes to Potter's safety. When Granger and Luna return 5 minutes later, they're both looking serious, and the misgiving in Draco's gut intensifies.
That's not a good look, Weasley says, frowning at his wife. I don't like that look. What's going on?
We're definitely on a countdown, Luna says, sounding pissed.
How long? Draco asks, his voice rough. How long are we talking?
45 minutes, Luna says, and Weasley swears.
So what you're saying is, Draco says slowly, we have 45 minutes to figure out how to tell which one is Potter, and then perform the unwinding. And if we don't, then what? They all stay Potters.
And Harry dies, Granger says softly. 43 minutes, Luna says, and Draco groans, mind racing.
Wait a minute, he says slowly,
an idea beginning to form.
Even if they're identical in their bodies, their magic remains their own, right?
He pauses, thinking it through.
So if there's some kind of magic they could do that would distinguish them, that's a way we could tell?
Luna nods excitedly.
That's brilliant, Draco, she says warmly. And yes, there's no reason to think that, for example, that Amortentia would change.
Oh.
Her face falls. It needs to be wandless and non-verbal magic. They can't speak, and we don't know if their wands still work.
We don't have time for Amortentia, Granger says, and there's a moment of silence before it hits Draco.
He opens his mouth and then pauses. What? Weasley asks. Do you have an idea?
Draco sighs.
Yeah. What's the spell we all learn to do wandless and unverbal? Somewhere around fourth year. That has a very distinct and different manifestation for each person.
Miracle,
Luna breathes out.
Yes, of course. Ron, would you happen?
Ron shakes his head. No, I don't know. I mean, I know he knows the spell.
He flushes.
I taught it to him, but we never really, discussed the details of it, or if you know what I mean.
So even if we can get them to cast the spell,
Luna begins, and Granger interrupts. And if any of them refuses, those are probably your bad guys.
But we won't know which one is Harry, because no one knows what his lubricant smells like.
Draco offers a silent apology down the hall to Potter and clears his throat.
Actually, he begins, and three heads whip around to stare at him. I might be able to help with that.
There's a moment of deadly silence as Weasley's eyebrows disappear into his hairline. Granger's eyes narrow, and Luna just looks thoughtful, as if some pieces are falling into place in her mind.
Oh, we are definitely going to revisit that once we get this all sorted, Weasley says firmly. But if you're sure, let's get back to holding. We don't have much time.
I'm sure, Draco says, and Weasley just nods. Absolutely sure. So they head down the hallway and back into the holding cell. Ron quickly explains the situation as Luna grabs her sharpie and marks each potter. There's a moment of chaos when one of the potters tries to punch her and make a break for it, but he's rapidly stupefied by both Weasley and Granger and is carried off by a couple of the junior aurors to a more secure holding cell. Ron has the remaining potters line up, and Draco steps up to Potter 2. "Can you cast the spell?" he asks quietly, and Potter 2 nods, looking embarrassed. Potter 2 casts and holds their hand up, and Draco takes a whiff. Something sweet and fruity. Maybe watermelon? "Not Potter," Draco says. Weasley makes a note on his clipboard, and Potter 2 sits down as Draco makes his way down the line. Potter 3. Mint. Not Potter. Potter 4. Roses. Not Potter. Potter 5. Something that reminds Draco of bonfire smoke. Nice, but not Potter. Potter 6. Cinnamon. Not Potter. Draco approaches Potter 7, who gives him a cocky grin and raises one eyebrow as he reaches up and rubs his thumb over the love bite on his neck. And Draco knows, even before Potter 7, Harry casts. The familiar scent of incense and sandalwood fills Draco's nose, and heedless of the mess, Potter 7 reaches up and cradles Draco's face before pulling him in for a kiss. "This one," Draco says, mouth still pressed against Harry's, and hears Weasley snort from behind him.
"Yeah, mate, we figured."
Harry releases Draco and turns to Luna, who pulls on her goggles and begins to cast. It takes a few minutes, but then there's a loud popping sound. A puff of smoke fills the cell, and when it clears, everyone has been transformed back to their own cells. And there's an immediate loud buzz of voices around them, and a burst of activity as the other auras come in to help process the non-Harrys. Harry just leans in close to Draco. "Sorry," Draco murmurs, taking in the sight of that familiar face, that smile that lights him up inside, the smile that's just for him. "I know we weren't really going to tell anyone yet." Harry kisses him, slow and sweet. "I don't care," he says softly. "I'm glad they know." "Yeah," Draco asks, and kisses Harry back like they've got all the time in the world.
"Oi," Weasley says, poking Harry in the arm. "We've got work to do, in case you haven't noticed. You can canoodle later."
Harry mouths canoodle at Draco and steps away with obvious reluctance. "I'll see you later." Draco nods, snags the random non-Harry to question and starts walking her to his desk before pausing and looking back. "Harry," he says, who turns and gives him a quizzical look. "Glad you're not dead. Also, it's good that we got that sorted.
One of you is more than enough."
And the sound of Harry's laughter echoes in his ears as he gets back to work. The end. You've been listening to Too Many Potters, written by PhD Mama and read by Reverie Pie. If you have enjoyed the story, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/4111-8753 to leave kudos and feedback for PhD Mama. Many thanks to PhD Mama for giving blanket permission for Podfix, and thank you for listening.